Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Doom Patrol number 109, cover date February 1967, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Bruno Premiani, edited by Murray Boltonoff, featuring Mandred the Executioner, written by Arnold Drake, art by Bruno Premiani, and The Fox and the Crow number 101. Cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents. Cover artist J. Winslow Mortimer, edited by Murray Boltonoff, featuring The Dog Nappers, written by Arnold Drake, art by J. Winslow Mortimer. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go go! Beast Boy returns the seemingly deceased Doom Patrol members and Mento to the Chief's lab, where they are able to be revived due to an unknown party's sabotage of the Brotherhood's murder weapon. Keeping their survival a secret so as to lure their enemies into tipping their hand, the team is soon battling Mandred, a giant android created by Gargwax. Also, Miss Teen America, and the results of the Stanley's Monster Name Contest. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
You're sitting in your room in a world full of gloom, just wondering what you're gonna do. You're all alone when you're staying at home. It's no wonder that you're feeling blue. Here comes a postman, he's really the most man. Looks like he's got a letter for you. Don't get excited, but you've been invited to the first annual semi-formal combination celebration. Meet the monster population party. Oh boy, a party. Don't you just love a party? Oh boy, a party. I'm gonna see you there.
Boy, that gal across the street's been working like a dog all day long.
Oh, what's she been doing?
Gardening to her motor lawn, and now she's gardening.
I saw her carrying a bucket around and putting things in it.
She sent us an email earlier this week to thank us for having a red car because it matched the red tulips, daffodils. What are those flowers up front?
Tulips, and it was 2 weeks ago.
Whatever. I know, because all the spring buds are gone now. It's
yeah,
all summer,
all
summer,
trees,
summer.
Summer. Summer! The buds are almost gone on the trees.
Scientists
yes.
have predicted 33 named hurricanes this year.
Oh, my God.
Not hurricanes, named storms.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's global climate change.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go through the alphabet and start over.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, so what a week. What
yes,
a week.
Go on.
Oh, I don't know. I just had work, you know, and gosh, what do we have this? There was something. Oh, we did a volunteer cleanup with the HOA. A couple members of the HOA.
Even though I'm no longer associated with the HOA, I did volunteer my time and sit on the cold, hard ground pulling weeds.
Yes. I wish I could figure out a way to have you do that at home. But
well, maybe you should form an HOA within the household. Or some other charitable organization, then I'd be happy to contribute my time.
Well, it was very kind of you to join me and the other two members of the HOA.
Yes.
So we did that that last week. We
yes.
cleaned up the entrance, which looked really lovely. And let's see, we had an... Well, it's it rained all day yesterday, so we spent the day with our very good friend Chuck.
Yes.
And his sullen teenage son.
Yes, out to the Baltimore, Forest State Comic Con in Hagerston, Maryland.
And ran into another delightful friend.
Billy from Magazines and Monsters, and his lovely daughter, who's an educator. Did I tell you that?
No!
She teaches third grade.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
She's so very young. I didn't even know she was out of college. I know,
she looks very young, but she's grown up. Well, she's got good genes, apparently.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, Billy's 100. He looks younger than we do. So, so we saw Billy, and then, of course, one of our other friends showed up at the Comic-Con, too. Yeah. So we joined, I don't know, we've never mentioned him, so I won't mention his name.
No.
Okay. So he joined us along with your work friend, ex-work friend Chuck. No, what do you call him? How do you refer to him now?
Our friend.
Friend.
He's our co-host on our new podcast.
Because we started the new podcast, I wasn't quite sure how we refer to him.
Oh.
Collaborator. He used to be work friend Chuck. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we all went to lunch yesterday, which was fun. And what did we do when we came home?
Napped. So I'm going to say napped.
I took a 2-hour nap yesterday, didn't I?
I watched the movie adaptation of Our Town.
How was it?
It was okay, except they changed the ending. Girl doesn't die at the end. She has a near-death experience, so she reads all the lines and then miraculously comes back to life after childbirth.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Spoiler alert, she dies in the play.
Yeah, she dies. So I read my other book that I'm reading, and I practiced guitar yesterday and did a ton of laundry.
Sure, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for helping me yesterday. And let's see, today, church for you, church for me.
Yes.
I went to my other church. I've been going to an Episcopal church and loving it.
Why don't you marry it if you love it so much?
Yeah, I've been going to an Episcopal church for about a month now.
Well.
Yeah, yeah.
All the ritual, none of the guilt.
Yeah, it's nice. Anyway, so, and then I took a nap this afternoon, and here we are. Oh, I cut the grass today, didn't we?
You cut the grass, yes. Mostly. Yes. Did it.
And then, of course, it's commencement week next week.
So. Oh, God.
No, this is a good week for if you're an administrator, because we call this we call it dead week, simply because it's real quiet. It's the week between grades being due, which is tomorrow, and commencement. People are just quiet and it's a great week to get caught up. Great.
My grades are done. You'll be happy to hear.
Thank you very much. And, thank you for your service. And, so I'm looking forward to this, but next weekend, my goodness, it's chock-a-block.
I'll say.
Ceremony after ceremony after ceremony after gathering after concert. We're going down to D.C. together. Oh, am I going to church with you?
I don't know. We can discuss it off the air.
Okay, yes, of course. Oh, there's a dragster.
What?
Beautiful car. Isn't it a car? That's a nice car.
I can't see it.
It's not really a dragster. They actually drive very sensibly through the neighborhood.
Okay, good.
Yep.
They ought.
So, you ready to dive into this comic book?
Well, I guess so. It's a fight I never expected to see.
Oh, I know, right?
Larry and Minto are scrapping right on the cover in front of Mandred, the giant... I don't know what he is.
He's made of plastic, I believe.
Yes. Hmm. The DP returns from the dead. As you recall, last week, the Doom Patrol died.
And we're doing something we don't usually do.
Yes.
You were so excited...
Based on reader feedback that we've had people mention in the past that they'd like us to complete these multi-part stories. Although I hate to disappoint you, listener, we're not going to complete this one because it still continues again.
And we're not.
No.
I'm putting my foot down.
No.
We're not doing Doom Patrol.
This is not a Doom Patrol-centric podcast.
No, if you want that,
there's a time machine out there.
And go forward in time and let me know if I'm still alive in the future.
The DP returns from the dead, but for how long? When they must face
Mandred, the executioner.
One by one, Rob. Mm. The Doom Patrol was lured into the jaws of an insidious trap. Then the Brotherhood of Evil clamped tight those iron jaws. Now, it is seconds later, and Gar Logan, alias Beast Boy, face the greatest tragedy of his life and the greatest challenge in Mandred the Executioner. As you recall, the Doom Patrol had all been killed by the Brotherhood of Evil. Garfield had been sent by the chief on a solo mission to rescue them, and he arrived too late. So now he's on the closed circuit television telling the chief that they're all dead. Choke, sob.
You get all the effects. The chokes, the sobs, the chokes.
Don't you have something clever to say? Aren't you going to quote Shakespeare or the Greeks or something? Sob.
I've never heard him call Chief Grandpa before.
I haven't either. He's got all kinds of hipster language in this issue.
But he calls him that several times.
Yeah. You big lousy phony.
He says, go ahead, boy, get it out of your system. You'll feel better when you do. But remember one thing. Those wonderful people weren't just my friends. They were like my children.
And what do you think they were to me, a guy who hardly had any parents?
I know, boy, and I blame myself. I should have seen through this whole fantastic scheme from the start. I should have armed them somehow. But I failed them. I failed. No! And then he sees, he gives him one moment of self-pity, and
yes.
He goes, no, smack, this must stop. There are precious minutes left to see if the impossible can be done, and I'm wasting them in self-pity. If I fail, I have an eternity to mourn them.
This is the point, if this was a musical, where he would sing.
Oh, totally.
An 11 o'clock number. Mm-hmm. I never dreamed of this sorrow. I never thought I'd have reason to lament.
You like that song, don't you?
Who doesn't like? I like all of Marmee's songs. Mm. It's from the musical, The Little Women. I could play Marmee on stage this minute. I know all her lines, all her songs.
Well, of course, I was listening to Chess all weekend.
I know you were. I even listened to it on the way home today.
You did? I thought you were just tolerating it yesterday for my sake.
No, I had to be in a free, open space where I could try to sing along the high notes that I don't have.
Well, I have to tell you something.
Yes?
One of the happiest moments of my teaching career was when my theater colleague said, okay, let's do Chess.
Yes.
And did I end up both directing
stage? Yes, you did. You regretted that.
I regretted it. I did both stage direction and musical direction of an 80s rock musical.
Yes.
That was so hard. It's only hard once you have to be in the pit and you can't monitor easily what's going on the stage. Honestly, it was one of my dreams to actually, I was never in Chess, obviously, but to get to actually bring it to the stage, it was a dream come true.
And what a stage, the very Florida Theater in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
It was a sensation of the age.
It was a sensation of the age, and the kids did such a good job, didn't they? They really did. Oh, and Allie's costumes were fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. The stage, the set was great. We had graphic representation.
Graphic,
it was great.
Kids. They're all like 35 now.
I know, right?
Now, Chief's going to talk Garfield through this new scheme.
Okay.
Just like when Laverne and Shirley had to land the jumbo jet. Remember when they were stewardesses? They had to be talked through it.
No.
Listen, boy, listen carefully. Every second that ticks away robs us of this slim chance. Is the weapon still there?
Yeah, the one those finks used to kill? Yeah, I see it.
Good. Next, you'll change yourself into a gorilla, the biggest, strongest ape conceivable, and load those bodies onto the rocket.
Gotcha. Here goes nothing.
Oh, God, that's hard to do.
So he scoops up Elastigirl, Negative Man, and Mento, and then he comes back later for Robot Man because he's heavier.
Very heavy, and he flies them back in a giant rocket.
In a giant rocket. He's got a little, look at his little space suit.
Little child-sized space suit.
That's adorable. Mm-hmm. It's probably not child. It's probably made for a test monkey. But it just happens to fit him. He's very short.
Well, yes. Yeah, so he changed himself back from a gorilla to his normal form.
Now, on the ride home, the chief informs him that the individual cells of the body remain alive for some time after a person is declared dead. That's why there's still a chance of restoring life. I think he would get this to the media because how many people have been buried alive when their cells are still clinging to life?
Well, in fairness, the brain dies pretty quickly. And if the brain's dead, nothing else can be sustained.
So. Well, yes. I read it right here in this comic. The individual cells of the body remain alive for some time.
Oh, my God.
Long enough to get from Europe to back to America.
One of the defining things of our early relationship was you would end arguments by saying, everything I learned in comics.
That's not true. I either learned it in a comic book or National Geographic or Gilligan's Island. So you see, I'm well-rounded in my knowledge gathering.
Did you fix your hair today?
Yes. What are you
Did you go to church with your hair like that, or have you since been messing with it?
I mowed the grass.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Jeez. We're not a visual medium. So they strap the Doom Patrol into some kind of icy chamber. because the low temperature and special oxygen mixture in the life cabinet.
Isn't it nice to know that he has something set aside to put all four of them inside and keep them alive?
It can only slow the processes of dying. It's lucky there's four spots because there's only three official members of the Doom Patrol.
Yeah, Mento's not an official member.
Right? No, neither is Beast Boy. And Chief needs to study this weapon that killed them, so he pulls it apart on the kitchen table. And discovers that the weapon was only used at half power.
Wow.
When it killed them.
That means someone tampered with it.
But the only brain, the alien brains that devised it, Gargwax's people, I'd imagine, were far beyond Earth intelligence. It's a complete puzzle. I'm beaten. Well, Gar rallies Chief back to consciousness, and hears a noise. It's robot men. Oil can. Robot men's alive. Rita's alive. That means they're probably all alive. It's true. Suddenly, it is as though all the church bells and skyrockets and New Year's horns of the world had gone off.
Rita, sweetheart, we're back from the dead.
Oh, it's so wonderful just to feel and hear you, Steve.
Yahoo, who needs negative man? I can fly faster than the speed of light right now.
Hey, cabbage head, it's even good to see your nasty teenage puss.
That's exactly what he says. You know, I was actually sad when I thought you were dead, Iron Skull. Man, was that a mistake.
So they're back to yelling and hating each other.
Good.
Well, we'll see you next week.
They're all alive.
Chief explains that they weren't dead, evidently, but your life spark was too feeble to be detected.
Life spark.
You didn't die, I suspect, because some member of the Brotherhood of Evil secretly reduced the weapon's power, but who would do that?
That reminds me of a song that I hate, a music theater song. The Spark of Creation. You know that song?
What's it from?
It's either Children of Eden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Once on This Island or Children of Eden, but it's, yeah, Children of Eden.
Meanwhile, at the Paris headquarters of the Brotherhood of Evil, Gargwax is pondering why Madame Rouge is so sad.
He says, "Why so sad, madam? Have we not accomplished the ultimate goal, the destruction of the Doom Patrol?" And she says, "Oui, that is true, Gargwax. I was thinking that the last remaining one, the chief, we have taken everything from him. He is brilliant. He is a brilliant man, that chief. The world has seen few like him. Even we must concede that."
"Yes, well, he would use that great mind." Gargrax is very fat. "He would use that great mind to kill you in a flash, stupid woman. He is as dedicated to our destruction as we are to his."
And then the brain says, "What is this, Madame Rouge? Have you forgotten all that I taught you, that we were born to be rulers of men?"
I have not forgotten. It is only that I am tired, terribly tired. I must rest. I must."
Uh-oh. A crack in the Brotherhood's armor? Can it be true?
We'll never find out.
We will. Not this issue, but no. Let's keep reading. Back at Doom Patrol headquarters, Chief has deduced that one of the Brotherhood deliberately saved us, but which one and why? Chief has a theory, but I'd prefer not to tell you right now. At any rate, we have more important things to do. There's an amusing drama we have to continue to play. So Chief's not going to let on that the Doom Patrol is still alive, because the Brotherhood thinks they're dead. Why? Because didn't they go back to get the bodies so they could drag them through the streets and whatnot? They're in Paris, after all. They have to hang them from the parapets or something.
Yes. Yes.
Put their heads on pikes.
Let the crows
peck
their eyes
out. Into the city, yes.
Oh, by the way.
What?
You didn't tell me what you thought of that movie last night. Excalibur.
Excalibur? Well, I can't tell you, so we haven't finished it yet. There's still 10 minutes to go.
Okay.
I liked it. What's wrong with it? Yes.
Oh, I thought you wouldn't like it.
Why?
Well, it is. You have to admit, it's kind of like a fantasy fever dream. A very slow kind of movie.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
Okay.
I like old-timey movies. I know 81 is not really old-timey, relatively speaking, but...
Yeah, I liked how you shouted out all the different stars that we saw and that they became big stars.
Yes, Patrick Stewart. Liam Neeson.
Charlie Borman as a child. He's not a big star, but...
You know. Well, he's big enough.
Yeah.
What's her face? Helen Mirren?
Helen Mirren, I know. A young Helen Mirren.
Young. Mm. We're talking about Excalibur, listener from 1981. I've never seen it.
We watched
it. Now I've seen all but 10 minutes of it. Mm. We'll finish it tonight.
Yeah.
So, Mento relays the chief's message that he just literally said that he wants us to play dead. And that's going to cause a fight.
I have no idea where you are. Oh.
Well, I'm on this page where they're all fighting.
Yeah.
Larry and Mento.
It's like the Metal Men, but with fists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else it's like? As someone on Twitter pointed out this week.
X-Men.
Well, X-Men fans, all Marvel comics of this era, where they were always fighting each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Quarreling and whatnot. The Thing and the Human Torch, they had.
Someone said, posted a comment on Twitter about Doom Patrol?
Yeah, because I post our episodes on Twitter and someone...
People respond. Actually comment?
Yes. Where? Yes.
That was
That's
kind.
The only reason we have an audience is thanks to Twitter.
Really?
Yes.
Well, listeners, there's... If you haven't figured out, I'm not on social media.
No, he's not.
No.
He is, but
I did
on
post
Twitter.
Something clever on Instagram this week.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to remind me.
Oh, it was that little chocolate milk box where you write a message to your child.
Oh, yes. There's chocolate milk boxes where you're invited to write a little note to your child.
So that when they open up in their lunchbox, they see it. And so I used AI to put the chocolate milk. I wrote something on the chocolate milk box, and then I used AI to put it in a picture of it as if it's in a cafeteria where the child's having it with their lunch. Except my message is still on the chocolate milk box, which says, "Your father and I are getting a divorce."
Well, Larry and Mento are punching each other out. That's probably not great since they need to be fighting an enemy. Robotman breaks it up. Rita says, "If you two aren't the biggest children that ever lived, the unmitigated gall of you men."
Why do Larry and Mento always go at it? Is it because Mento starts it?
Yeah, but also I think Larry's sweet on Rita.
Larry is.
Yeah, a negative man.
Oh.
But he has no chance with her because he's a
Oh, he's not actually skeleton. Gay in this time? No, he wouldn't be gay. He wouldn't be out. But.
No.
That's, is that an invention of television or does that happen in the comics?
That's
too?
Television.
Oh, okay.
No, in comics he became a non-binary combination of man and woman.
Oh, okay.
I think. I haven't kept up. That's the last thing I remember. The following day, an elaborate funeral is staged in the streets of the city for the Doom Patrol.
I guess they've got some money to lay out for that, huh?
Sure, Chief's got all the money he needs. Garfield and Chief are riding in one of the mourner cars, and Beast Boy can hardly contain a smile because he knows they're not really dead.
He knows they're all at home in the basement eating waffles and sausages, and Chief says... Basically, if you don't stop that smiling, I'm going to spank you.
Yeah.
And make you cry.
Backhand your rear end. That's what I'm going to do. Back in Paris at the Brotherhood of Evil headquarters, the Brotherhood is gloating over the fact that the Doom Patrol is dead. We are ready now to move against the Bearded One. That's the chief. Mm-hmm. Without his precious Doom Patrol, he is helpless.
And she says, "I'm not so certain, Monsieur Brain. His fantastic mind is always a danger. This is no kind of... This is no kindergarten teacher we must face."
"Precisely," Gargwax says. "Precisely why I have waited so long to unveil my ultimate weapon. The plastic slaves were but a toy compared to what I have in mind. Follow me into the main laboratory."
They go into the laboratory and she says, "Is this madam, what's her name? Madame
Rouge.
Sacre bleu, they destroy each other without a sound. They throw each other into that foul-smelling cauldron."
Gargwax's little plastic android army, they're just
literally tossing each other into a boiling, stinking cauldron.
Acid or something. Mm.
"Of course, they can know neither joy nor pain, only duty. They sacrifice themselves so that from their pooled substance, I can create my masterpiece of terror. Watch."
Well, good
from
for him for recycling. He's recycling.
But the words pooled substance from their pooled substance.
You're trying to make something out of this, aren't
you? It just sounds disgusting.
It does sound disgusting. She says it's foul-smelling.
Well, yeah, it would be. So crawling out of this pit of acid comes a giant nightmare. Mandred, rise, Mandred, your hour has come.
Mandred hears, Mandred obeys. Mandred is the executioner.
Later, at Doom Patrol headquarters, Chief and Beast Boy are
just waiting to be
sitting in an empty room beside the hearth.
Minivan.
What?
That went by exceeding the speed limit.
I'll say. I'm going to track them down. So they both realize that whatever the Brotherhood has planned is probably in motion, and they're just sitting waiting for it to happen. Yeah. I'm not scared. That was Beast Boy. He actually is scared.
Yes, that's but you can tell because he went scared.
Look at this. Chief says, I know you're not scared. You've got the guts of your father.
My father? You knew him?
Briefly. We studied together. He was the most brilliant medical researcher I... Wait, that's it. The first radar warning. This was news to me. I didn't know that the chief knew Beast Boy's father.
There's lots of reveals here. And as the recorded warning rings out, the chief whizzes to a control panel.
Hold it! You've got to tell me about him. You've got to tell me about my father.
Not now, boy. That thing out there, whatever it is right at our walls. We must swing the heavy armor panels into place like this. So on the quiet residential street where the Doom Patrol brownstone is, up spring giant steel walls.
Yeah.
Surrounded place.
It's weird because, like, there's what? Buildings on either side of the brownstone.
Yep.
So the steel walls only cover the front of the brownstone.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't need to protect those other buildings. No. Mandred, who is giant and wears a horned helmet and a loincloth and sandals.
He's always shin guards, too.
Yes.
See, they think he's a soccer player, too, in his spare time.
Well, he'd be awfully big for the soccer pitch.
He'd have to play other giants.
Oh, yes. Obviously, yes. They need a bigger than standard regulation field.
Sure. But he's probably doesn't play very fair, not with that nuclear
thing. Is there a soccer team that wears just loincloths? Because I'd be interested in that. Mandred, as we said, is giant, and he has some kind of mace or wand or something
in his hand. It's nuclear powered, which makes him able to melt through the steel.
Yeah.
Well, and also his body would be very hot, too.
Sure.
Radioactive, I guess.
So the nuclear energy supplied by the metal rod is flowing through his entire body.
Oh, well, there we go.
He's melted through 3 feet of steel. Time to signal the others in the vault below and wake them from their pancake-induced stupor.
Uh-oh. His nuclear radiation is interfering with the signal.
Womp, womp, womp.
All the circuits are out. This is not bode well because it's going to affect many operations of things inside the mansion.
Right. Robot Man thinks he hears something from upstairs, but Negative Man tells him to relax. Well, I guess Negative Man and Mento have made up because they're playing darts together.
Just for the time being, I think. Yeah, they've only made up for the time being.
So they say, relax, Robot Man. The chief will signal when he needs us. And, I see. They're playing darts, but it seems Negative Man has fixed the dart game.
Yeah, he's cheating.
So
no, Mento's cheating. Who's cheating?
Negative Man.
Negative Man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Robot Man says, "Listen, I've tried to signal the chief 3 times. There's no answer. I say something stinks up there. Let's go."
The next panel, a giant hand comes crashing through the wall. Beast Boy is pushing Professor Whiskers. What's his real name? Professor Chief.
The chief.
Niles. Oh, not Calder. Professor, because that would be
X. Professor S. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Niles. He's pushing him, and he says, "Start thinking, boy." And this giant thing, Mandred, is he just walks right through the wall.
Yeah. And now he's got an odd speech pattern. Now the last feeble veil enshrouding you has torn away. Your trained freaks too are dead. Nothing more exists to protect you, bearded fool.
Beast Boy says, "Watch how you talk to Whiskers here. Only the family is allowed to insult him."
As the giant artificial being moves into the kill, the chief has hidden weapons in his wheelchair. He shoots out a something, acid or gas steam or gas or something.
But it only buys seconds of time.
Just a few seconds. Meanwhile, in the elevator shaft below, the elevator circuits have been damaged. So they can't take the elevator.
So Cliff is trying to scale up the elevator cables.
Climbing up the cables. Negative Man, Larry releases Negative Man up the elevator shaft, who reaches Mandred, who points this nuclear mace at him and really does a number.
Yeah, Negative Man crumples and falls down the elevator shaft.
Yeah, he looks like a, I don't know what, like a Picasso drawing.
Yeah, he does.
The crumpled being flutters falteringly back, and Robot Man then makes it up to the top floor.
He has some success in his battle with...
A little bit, yes. This creature, but it's Mandred. This mace. He can't beat the mace, mm-hmm. and then Mandred grabs him around the middle and starts melting his body.
Him. Oh, my God.
Ouch!
Rita will not have anything to do with
this. No, look at this gal. She grows giant. She sticks her giant fist through the elevator door.
Bops him on the head. Does a good job. Oh, they're the walkers.
Well, expect some barking here in a minute. Yeah. This is a nice touch. Mandred says the giant woman more powerful than anything I have known. She's the most powerful member of the Doom Patrol.
Is she?
For a mere girl.
Good for her.
But even she cannot withstand Mandred's cosmic energy.
No, he burns her hand or something.
Burns her hand, shrinks down. Back down. Larry.
And her husband, who loves her?
Not Larry, Steve.
Steve grabs her.
Mento, he loves her. Mm-hmm. There's hatred and madness, but there's also love. don't worry, sweetheart. He won't get away from me. Nobody kicks my elastic sweetie around and lives long, so... Here comes Mento with his Mento helmet.
We get half a page of the two battling, and Mento tries.
He holds his own for a little bit.
Yeah. But the... Oh, what's... no, I want to say Gargwax, but that's not his name. Mandred uses his mace to push back Mento's mental energy, and Mento's helmet explodes.
Yeah.
I hope his brain's okay. Well, I mean, he seems to explode outward.
He's had some emotional issues, honestly, in the past and the future, so I don't know that this is the origin of that. I don't think it is, but...
Okay. Well, finally.
Finally, Beast Boy gets in on the action.
And I think he actually does some good work here.
Yeah. First, he turns into an elephant, goes ramming into Mandred. Mandred grabs his tusks and is going to just twist his head off.
But then he transforms, Beast Boy transforms into a tiny bird.
Little bird. Evades Mandred's grasp and then changes into an eel who, for some reason, has giant ears.
And he can twist himself around.
Yeah.
He ties himself into a thick, ropish knot around
Mandred's neck.
Mandred's neck and proceeds to choke him.
I am surprised to learn that Mandred has to breathe because he's made of plastic and was made of pooled goo.
Yeah, that is a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah.
But with Doom Patrol, you just got to go along for the ride. Sure.
What bitter irony. Mandred the Mighty to die from the slimy touch of a sea worm.
Joke.
Mandred is knocked unconscious.
Rita quickly gathers the ether tank.
Yes.
So I guess Mandred is organic.
I guess so.
Because the ether knocks him out. They take him down into the basement.
Basement, and they clamp his ankles and wrists in irons.
Yeah, so they're assuming that's going to work.
This is interesting. Robot Man says, why didn't we just kill him?
Yeah.
Because superheroes don't kill Robot Man. But
they would have killed you. They killed you in the last issue.
But they're not superheroes. Superheroes don't kill.
Oh.
But the real answer is because the chief is certain his death would be automatically signaled to the Brotherhood, but alive, he will be bait and draw them to us. Hmm. And they still believe you are all dead. So they're still hiding out. Mento makes a call to his lawyer because you recall they're trying to get custody of Garfield.
Garfield.
Mm-hmm. The lawyer's surprised to learn that he's alive, but he says, I couldn't even let you in on the secret, and you still have to keep it secret. But I want you to keep that action against Galtry going. Galtry is Beast Boy's foster parent, who's evil to the core.
And he's stealing Beast Boy's inheritance.
Yes. Tell them, even though I'm dead, my estate is going to fight this thing through, and I mean fight. Then,
as Beast Boy discards his secret identity to return to what he laughingly calls a home.
None of your business where I was last night, you old geezer.
I'm surprised that your spirits are still so waspish, young man, especially since your friend Mr. Dayton is now dead.
Who, boy, he thinks Wade Mento and the Doom Patrol show their faces again. Galtry will choke.
Shortly after, Galtry's on the phone. He says, what? But, oh, he's talking to someone. He says, what? But Steve Dayton is dead.
Yes, but the court action to free your ward is still on, and they mean business.
He thinks if the boy is taken from me, they'll discover that I've drained millions from his inheritance. They must be stopped, no matter how.
Slam. He slams the phone down.
Yeah, he's already tried larceny, bribery, kidnapping, and murder. What's left? Don't worry. He'll think of something, and it'll be in the very next heart-pounding issue.
Well, sorry, we're not going to cover this issue next week. You're going to have to wait 2 years or whatever it'll be before we come around to Doom Patrol again. I liked this story.
Me too.
I am surprised to hear myself say that.
Really? Tell me why.
Well, I don't know. Something changed in me. The last issue I liked, and I like this issue more. I think it has to do with, first of all, that they're giving Rita her props. I believe the art has improved from our earliest look at Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like the whole, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, they don't want Beast Boy to be a member of the Doom Patrol, but Chief's, like, pulling him in and giving him instructions and making him do stuff, using him. Basically. Yeah, it's a strange thing to say.
I'm always up for a Doom Patrol. I love a good Doom Patrol.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you marry it if you love it so much?
I did the next best thing. I married you.
I know, I'm a freak. you might think that's the end of this episode, but it's not.
No, what are we going to do next?
Stanley and its monster, and guess what?
What?
He's finally going to get a name for the monster.
Finally.
Yes.
Massachusetts. Oh,
it's the Walkers not going to be Massachusetts.
It's not?
No. But before we find out, Rob, I'd like to introduce you to the two newest winners of the exciting Miss Young America contest.
Really?
As you know, we are continuing this contest indefinitely, so there's still a chance for a young lady that you might know to become a Miss Young America. All they have to do is send their photo, a snapshot will do, and tell about yourself. Each winner will receive an original sketch drawn by the noted artist John F. Rosenberger. Are you ready?
Yes.
First up, why would a pretty 5'3" brown-haired, green-eyed doll named Susan Richardson of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, have a kooky hobby like judo?
I don't know.
Well, maybe it's because this 18-year-old just digs that kind of thing. Among her other interests are sketching, swimming, and watching football games.
My goodness.
After graduating from Woodlawn High, Susan plans to take a 2-year business course at Louisiana State University. Her big ambition in life is to become an airline hostess.
My goodness.
And for this, Miss Young America's qualifications, our judges predict great accomplishments in the future.
Well, aim high.
Mm-hmm.
Aim for the skies.
Next up, reading Young Romance magazine is a favorite hobby of lovely 5'6", 17-year-old blonde Molly Combs of Beattyville, Kentucky.
Beattyville.
In fact, she's a winner because she discovered the rules for this contest in that very magazine, Young Romance.
Really? Of course.
And found she met the qualifications. Lucky girl.
Mm-hmm.
While a senior at high school, mm-hmm. she maintains a satisfactory average and hopes to become a beautician when she graduates. Wow. With a face and personality like Molly Combs, success is definitely just around the corner.
You know it.
Congratulations, Miss Young Americas. Miss Young's America? How would you pluralize
Mrs.
that?
Mrs. Young America.
No, that makes it sound like they're married and you know they're still searching for husbands.
The Mrs. The Mrs. Young America.
Although Susan, as an air hostess, she's sure to land a rich man.
I'm sure.
Did you know that they used to make stewardesses, flight attendants, as we call them now, they were forced to retire at age 32?
No.
Yes.
So they wouldn't get old.
Right.
So they wouldn't. So the stewardesses would always look young and pretty.
Always look young and pretty, and it still gives them time to find a man.
Yes, of course. Yes, because they haven't gotten their MRS degree.
That's late.
If they haven't had their MRS degree by then, they need to get their MRS degree.
Because can't have children after 30.
Oh, no.
With much success.
No, everything's all dried up.
Of course, my mother.
By then, you're not fertile anymore after 30, right?
Right. Of course, my mother had me at 37.
And now look what happened.
And my grandmother, her mother was born in 1855 and had my grandmother when she was 47 years old.
My God.
Now, this great-grandmother, she weighed a pound and a half when she was born.
And she was kept in a drawer, right?
Kept in a drawer. She slept in a cigar box or something.
My God.
She was a twin. Of course, the other twin died.
Oh, that's terrible.
Born in the middle of a blizzard, 1855, pound and a half. And lived to have a child at 47. What more would any woman dream of?
She'd been to Hawaii four times as an escort. Well,
that's my grandmother. Oh. That's the great-grandmother that was born in the shoebox. Where was she born?
I'm just distracted by all the speed driving this afternoon.
I know. What's wrong with them?
I don't know.
We need a blinking speed alert sign.
We do.
Yeah. Well, you're the treasurer of the HOA. I suggest you hop onto it.
I just pay the bills.
Well, can I requisition a blinking speed sign?
You have no power. You're no longer. You gave up.
I'm a citizen of the
Then I suggest you go out there and do a citizen's arrest.
Don't think I wouldn't.
Citizen's arrest? Citizen's arrest?
Speaking of arresting things, how would you like to see a monster walking down the street?
I'd welcome that at this time of day. That'd be interesting.
Well, I don't know. What would you name the monster?
I would probably ask for some help.
From Stanley?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then let's look at Fox and the Crow.
And Stanley and his monster.
Number 101. Welcome again, fellow Losham. That's an acronym for Lovers of Stanley and His Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. There's a stranger among us. You with the ballpoint ink on your nose and chewing two-day-old gum. Oh, they're addressing the reader through the fourth wall.
We'll have to fill you in. There's this kid, Stanley, see? He's got a 3,000-year-old dog, only it's really a monster, which he thinks is a dog. He's also got two little men who entered the U.S. illegally disguised as puppets. And a French ghost who claims he used to be Napoleon. Any questions? Well, if you take the gum out of your mouth, we can understand you.
I know that synopsis seems confusing, but that's exactly the situation. That's all there is to tell.
Yeah.
They really did have to emphasize that these are illegal aliens, though.
Yeah.
This little leprechaun. And what's the other one? A dwarf?
It's a German dwarf. A troll, kind of, but a dwarf.
Okay, yeah. The scene opens with Stanley's suburban parents putting him to bed with his leprechaun and dwarf.
It sounds like a German
puppet.
Zwölf. Der Zwölf. Zwölf.
Zwölf.
Zwölf.
Zwölf.
Zwölf.
That means 11, doesn't it?
No, it means der Zwölf. 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 It means dwarf.
Oh, because our German teacher,
he was
Herr Dr. Dysart, was a short man, and they called him Der Zwölf. That's terrible. Why would they call him that?
Okay, he was very short. He was like 5'4".
He wasn't that short.
He was tiny.
No.
Yes, he was a wee thing.
He was at least 5'5", and we've got a listener who will confirm or deny.
I say he was 5'4".
I say 5'5½".
Okay.
Listener, call in with your opinion. And memory. Oh, brother, here we go again, putting Stanley to bed because he apparently kept his parents up all night talking with said foreign illegal puppets and the ghost of Napoleon and a 3,000-year-old dog.
Monster.
Now, he tells his parents this, that he was just carrying on a normal conversation. The father's apparently hasn't had his cocktail yet because he's about to lose his cool.
He does lose his cool. He picks up the stupid doll, as he calls the one you call a leprechaun.
Yep.
And he kicks it across the room.
Drop kicks it across the room.
And the wife says, temper, Mitch, temper.
Now, he takes the other doll, which is a zvulf, takes it into the bathroom. Stanley has his own ensuite bathroom, apparently. Mm. And dunks it in a tub, like holds its head under the water of the tub.
Drowns it.
Drowns it. Well, he doesn't drown it because the dwarf is holding its nose, but he doesn't know that. Also, he thinks it's a doll. Mm-hmm. So he's going to, at best, he's going to ruin Stanley's beloved toy.
Right.
I don't like this father.
No. He's not nice. He's not nice.
No. Stanley begs him to take the dwarf out of the bathtub, which he does, and the father gloats in the fact that were it a living being, it would be dead. But now he's proving to Stanley that it's just a doll, which is now ruined. Later, when the parents get out of there, it turns out Schnitzel, that's the dwarf's name, is alive, and the leprechaun is also alive.
They're both alive also.
But the leprechaun won't be able to sit for a week, bejabers.
He says, yeah, ha, ha, ha. Once the sound of that kick was music to my ears, ha, ha.
Oh, they're going to fight for a while because they hate each other, and Everyone in 60s comics fights. Meanwhile, here comes the monster.
Massachusetts.
His name is Massachusetts, but the running gag here is that Stanley can't say that because he has a terrible lisp. Sometimes. Depends on the panel you're looking at. Mm-hmm. So he can't say Massachusetts, so they've been running a contest to rename the monster, which Stanley thinks is a dog. Monster comes in. He's been hiding outside because he didn't want his father to find him because father would go on a murderous rampage. Mm-hmm. And also, the father is against Stanley owning a dog.
Of course, the leprechaun and the dwarf know that the Massachusetts is not a dog. He's a monster.
Right. The trouble if, Stanley says, you're all a bunch of cowards. Don't you know it's always better to meet your problems squarely? Schnitzel then sees an ad in the newspaper. To which Stanley replies, with no lisp, what does it say, Mr. Schnitzel? Why can he say Schnitzel and not Massachusetts?
Because his piqued his interest, I guess. Distracted him.
Anyway,
there's a big pet photo contest.
Yes.
First prize is a free pet house and 5 years supply of your favorite pet food.
Say, that is interesting.
Yes, I don't know how the Irish would say it.
Hey, that's interesting.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
I could take some splendid pictures of my dog and enter them and win first prize.
Massachusetts says, your dog, I presume you're referring to me.
Certainly. Wait here, I'll get the camera.
Massachusetts does not want to have his picture taken and sent to the newspaper.
Leprechaun says, don't worry. If he takes your picture, I'll see that he never mails them.
So I guess Stanley developed the pictures at his house? Because they don't have Polaroids in 1966.
No, but they do have... What's the little thing that used to be in the grocery store parking lot? Photo mats? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have that.
Okay.
Stanley surely has allowance or... something.
Okay. So the next day, he's ready to mail in this picture that he's taken the day before.
Yes. Mr. Shaughnessy offers to mail the letter for him, and Stanley says no. Stanley goes off to mail it himself. Shaughnessy follows him. And here down the street comes Mr. O'Brien, who says... Top of the morning, Stanley, and who's the funny little boy with the costume and makeup?
Funny little boy, indeed. If he hasn't foreign Irish... Wait. If he wasn't a foreign Irishman policeman, I'd pop him one.
See, Shaughnessy thinks he's a policeman because he is wearing a policeman's hat.
Yeah, it's not a postal carrier.
Actually the postal carrier.
Goodness gracious.
He takes Stanley's letter and off he goes to the newspaper at the Daily Bugle. Not that Daily Bugle.
A different one.
So the editor, Mr. Gruntle, has collected all these letters and they lay unopened on his desk. And he orders his underling to take all of the entries and throw them in the garbage.
He wants them to dump them unopened.
Yes.
He says, but why should I do... He said, why should I do this? He goes, well, why should I when I know who the winner is? See?
He shows a picture of a charming little girl in a little Pekingese.
The girl belongs to... She's the niece of the publisher.
Yeah. So the underling understands. He takes all the letters to throw them out, but one letter has popped out and not gotten destroyed. The underling brings it back to Mr. Gruntle. He sees the photo of Stanley and his monster. Ha, 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 this is funny. That kid's dad must have used trick photography to make it look like he had a pet monster. Ha, ha. So they're going to run a special prize for originality mm-hmm. in the same edition where they award this dog prize to the boss's niece. They call up Stanley, tell him to come to the office, mm-hmm. and should I bring my dog? Why could he say should and not office?
What?
He says should. Should I bring my dog? Stanley says that.
What's on the phone.
Well, why can he say should and not office?
Because SH is made in a different place than S.
Shh.
Shh. He takes, it's just a lateral placement from the alveolar ridge transferred down to the tongue.
Oh, is it Mr. Wizard?
I worked on my S's a little bit.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And?
I have no idea.
Do you think you could offer Stanley some advice? Because his parents sure as hell aren't going to send
him to
speech
therapy.
They need to
get him to a speech therapist. A pathologist.
Well, anyway, here goes Stanley with Massachusetts on a leash down the street. Massachusetts insisted they go stick to the dark alleyways mm-hmm. so he won't be seen. Meanwhile, the little girl, who's the boss's niece, is also on her way to the newspaper office with her Pekingese. And she's got a driver, private driver, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The driver spots Massachusetts and Stanley and swerves to miss hitting the monster. Meanwhile, near the newspaper office, there's some crooks.
Oh, crooks. I love crooks.
I
always add a comic little element
yes,
to a story
I'll say,
like this, don't especially
they? Especially when they have thick Coke bottle glasses like this gentleman does.
Marty.
They are kidnappers. They're going to kidnap this little girl. Well, they're going to kidnap her dog.
And hold it for ransom.
Hold it for $20,000 ransom.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley and Massachusetts make it into the lobby of the newspaper office.
But no one sees them because simultaneously everyone that could see him has something going on with their eyes.
Yes.
Either they've got something in their eye or they're distracted or they're carrying boxes, but no one can see him. So they go into the elevator, but they...
Please notice that it is a self-service elevator.
Oh, that's right.
Which must have been a rarity in the city in those days.
In the 1960s, they had elevator operators.
Yes. funny thing, though, the elevator door closed, but it's not moving. That's because Massachusetts exceeds the weight capacity. So he pops his head back out of the elevator. Now everyone sees him.
And this panic ensues. Everyone runs around.
Oh, no, a monster.
Ah!
Run, run, run! Everyone runs, including the kidnappers.
And Marty, is that his name? Marty gets his glasses knocked off.
And Massachusetts steps on them.
Yeah.
Stanley apologizes. He says, I'm sorry, sir, but my dog broke your glasses.
Marty says, broken? Hey, kid, did you say you got a dog? And he takes the leash from the kid. He says, give me that leash. And he said, your dad can have the dog back for $20,000, little girl.
Little girl, Faye, you really are hard of seeing. That reminds me of when I went to Lazarus Department Store in seventh grade. I was allowed to ride the bus downtown to
Did
go Christmas.
Did you have longish hair?
I had longish hair. And Of course, I had just undergone a growth spurt, so mm-hmm. I had no winter coat to wear. So Mother lent me her winter coat so that I could ride the bus downtown to Lazarus at Christmas time to do my Christmas shopping.
Did you put a scarf over your head?
No. But I did wear driving gloves. I got to Lazarus with longish hair and an unpubescent voice.
Mm-hmm.
What do we call that? Undescended?
No, prepubescent, just unchanged.
And a woman's coat. Yes. On, and don't you think I got lots of perfume samples? And I went up to the sixth floor, the chintz room, to have lunch.
You did for not.
Lazarus's famous stuffing.
Yes.
And I got called ma'am in line.
You did not.
Yes, I certainly did.
Did someone walk up to you and say, our new one-piece foundation garment zips up the back and no bones?
No, but they did walk up and say, would you like to try our new refreshment spray?
Psst. And you were like, stop,
I'm a boy. No, I was mealy-mouthed, so of course I didn't correct anyone.
No,
I
you just probably just
went along with it.
Just shuddered and scooted away. Like,
well, I wasn't going to lose an opportunity to eat at the chintz room, the very fanciest place in town.
Can you show me where the pantyhose are, please?
Anyway, Marty brings Massachusetts back to the getaway car. Of course, he won't fit in there.
Nope.
The driver turns around and sees it's a monster, so he flees the car.
Leaving Stanley, Massachusetts, crammed into the car.
Stuck in the car.
Yeah.
And the car is running.
Yeah.
They come upon the little girl now who's out waiting in front of the Daily Bugle offices, and they realize their mistake, and so they steal that dog.
Mm-hmm.
Run down the alley to avoid detection from the police, just as Massachusetts gets that car moving, and it crashes into, well, like into a building, but it blocks the alleyway.
So now, yes, go ahead. Blocks the robbers, the dog nappers in the alley. Now, what kind of breed, and I know what kind of breed that is, but how would you pronounce that breed of dog?
Pekingese?
Yeah, everybody calls it Pekingese, right?
Yeah.
Like Pekingese.
Yeah.
And it's Pekingese. Pekingese. There's an ing in there. It's a dog that comes
Pekingese.
From
Pekingese. Oh, I see. Yeah.
But we always call it Pekingese or Pekingese.
Okay. Well, Pekingese. Peking, it would be Pekingese, right?
Pekingese. Peking,
not like, a hard G. Peking, not Pekingese.
No, Pekingese. Pekingese.
I'm going to correct myself from now on.
You are? Never Every time you see a Pekingese dog?
I will make sure to say Pekingese and correct everyone else
now
around.
Now you're doing knees, like onion. Like
bologna?
Yeah.
It's Pekingese. Pekingese. I didn't do it. Pekingese.
It's Pekingese. Peking. Pekingese.
Pekingese.
Peking.
Pekingese.
Stop
it. No, you're putting an extra N.
No, Pekingese. It's spelled Pekingnese.
No. I'm reading it right here.
Where?
Top panel, page 9.
Oh, my gosh.
Pekingese.
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 I thought it was spelled with another N after the G.
Ask Google how to say it.
Okay, here. I've typed it in. Okay, here we go.
Pekingese.
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 Slow it down.
Okay, well, hold on.
Pekingese.
They're not doing. They're doing it incorrectly.
Pekingese.
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 Well, they're not. I'm going to call Peking, Google. How do you, Pekingese. Do you have a number?
Pekingese. Pekingese.
They're not doing that. They're going Pekingese.
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 That's not what they're doing.
Pekingese.
Pekingese.
Stop saying that. They're not doing it.
Oh, God, that's funny. Oh, that's great.
Well, the kidnappers are trapped. Girl gets her dog back. Stanley gets his monster back.
Dullard. Go ahead.
And Stanley gets a kiss from this little girl because he saved her dog.
Oh, you're okay. Oh, she's so happy. What has she got on her hat? What kind of hat is that?
A little. It's kind of a
Marnie. Not Marnie.
A what? No.
That girl, what's her name?
Marlo Thomas.
Marlo Thomas.
Yeah, yeah, but Thomas. I don't know the style of the hat. Mm. She's also got a headband. That's
it's excessive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like gilding the lily.
She says, you deserve a reward for this, and then gives him a kiss. I would want candy or money or lunch at the chintz room or something.
Ow.
That night, the leprechaun and the zwolf are reading the deluge of letters from Stanley's fans. Well, Stanley, the name for your dog that more kids sent in than any other was Harry.
Oh, no.
Ja, und Red was the second most popular. Yes.
Oh, my God. What? I'm a listener who speaks fluent German must be screaming right now. Oh, my God, because this is the word. You're going to die. Zwerg. Zwerg. Not Zwerg.
I knew that. 12. I knew it.
You did. You did. I'm so sorry.
I said it was 11.
Zwerg.
Zwerg. Okay, I'll edit all of that out. Okay. That night, the Zwerg and the leprechaun are reading Stanley's mail. Well, Stanley, the name for your dog that... Well, I can't do it.
Wait.
Well,
Stanley, the name for your dog... for your dog that more kids sent in than any other was Harry.
Ja, und Red was the second most popular.
Yes, and quite a few voted for Shaggy. Shaggy, because of your hair. How is this because? He should say yes. And quite a few voted for Shaggy because of your hair.
But he didn't, did he?
No, but I picked the one that submitted. He should say submitted
yes.
By Ronald J. Ellis. But he doesn't say...
No.
Okay. The name is Spot.
Spot? But Stanley, I have no spots in my body.
No, dog. But there's a warm spot in my heart for you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I thought the entire point of renaming him was because Stanley couldn't say Massachusetts, and here we are calling him Spot.
Well, he couldn't say math. He would say math. He couldn't say it. Yeah, it's just monosyllabic name.
More fun with Stanley and his kooky gang next issue.
I apologize to you and to the one listener I know who speaks fluent German. I should have known it was Der Zwerg. I should have known because I have used that word many times in my life to describe funny things. And now...
To mock short people, you can go ahead and say it.
Okay, I don't want to admit that, but yes, Der Zwerg.
What if this puppet that's come illegally from Germany is the Erlkönig?
Ooh!
And he's going to steal Stanley's soul.
Can we talk about the new show that we watched last night?
Oh, yes. Well, if you haven't watched Dead Boy Detectives on Netflix, it's terrific. And Kirby Baptiste reprises her role as Death from Sandman.
Awesome.
Which I think is getting season 2. Last I heard.
Really?
Yes, girl, yes. I
love that show.
And
yeah.
It's terrific.
So if you, I'm sure people have watched it, but we just.
Probably. Yeah. We're always behind the curve.
Always behind the curve.
Well, you can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod when we're not watching television.
Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, it's now X.
Well, everyone still calls it Twitter.
Yeah.
Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook, we're everywhere. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. And you can find us right back here next week with The Flash.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
All right.
All right.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye. No more rain in my days. Clouds are gone.